Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. This past Shabbos, besides being Shabbos Parshas Sav, was also Shabbos Parshas Para. Besides the regular Torah portion of Sav, which means command, about the Kohanim becoming Kohanim, the first Kohanim, Aaron and his sons. In addition to that, we took out a second Sefer Torah, and we learned there about the Para Aduma. The Para Aduma means the red calf, and it's a mitzvah which is the most not understood mitzvah in the Torah. Zos chukas haTorah, this is the chukah, the decree of the Torah, meaning that it's something not understood. The whole idea of purity and impurity, tumah and tahara, is something which we don't really understand. Only because Hashem tells us, that's how we know that this is pure, this is impure, this is how you make something from pure to impure or from impure to pure. And therefore, today I'd like to tell a story about a mikveh. Mikveh is something which takes away a certain type of impurity. And actually, a mikveh for women to use each month when they need to become pure is a very, very, very important mitzvah, because without the women becoming pure, we would not be able to have children. And without children, chas v'shalom, there's no Jewish people. How important is a mikveh for women? It's so important that if a certain city had only one Sefer Torah, maybe you would say a village, a little town, had only one Sefer Torah in the entire town, and they didn't have a mikveh for women, that they would have to sell that Sefer Torah in order to raise money to build the mikveh. If they had no other way to raise money, they would have to actually sell that Sefer Torah. So you might say, Sefer Torah? How could you sell a Sefer Torah for a mikveh? Mikveh is just a pool of water. Torah has all of Hashem's teachings in it. Very true. But that is the halacha. That's the law. Because the Torah, although it's very important, no question about it, but there are other ways to learn Torah besides having a Torah scroll, whereas without the mikveh, the husbands and wives would not be able to bring children into the world. And that would be the end, chas v'shalom, of the Jewish people in that town. And that's how important the mikveh is. So our story today tells about an amazing mikveh story. And it goes like this. In the 1980s, there was a war between Israel and Lebanon. There was a terrible attack from Lebanon, terrorists and so forth. And it resulted in a war. Israel invaded Lebanon, and there was a lot of fighting. And one of the Israeli soldiers during the war was approached by a civilian, a person from Lebanon. And he said to the soldier, "I am a Jew. And I would like to know if you could help us." The soldier said, "I will try." He said, "Well, we used to have a mikveh that my wife used, but it became damaged. And now it's very hard for her to do the mitzvah of using a mikveh. There's a river near us. Sometimes she uses that, but sometimes it's too cold. Sometimes it's other reasons why she can't use it. Maybe there's people around, so she can't use it because there's people there, or whatever comes out. It's very, very difficult for us to keep this mitzvah of taharas hamishpacha, of family purity, of her using the mikveh. And perhaps you could bring a message back to Israel to have some rabbis come and help us to repair our mikveh." So the Israeli soldier said, "Okay, I will try to do that." And sure enough, when he got back to Israel, he spoke to his local Chabad rabbi. And his local Chabad rabbi said, "Here, there's a rabbi in Tzfas. His name is Rabbi Bitsritsky. He's now Olav HaShalom. He passed away. And perhaps he can help you, because Tzfas is pretty close to the border with Lebanon." So this Israeli soldier spoke to Rabbi Bitsritsky, and Rabbi Bitsritsky said, "Of course, I'll try to help." So he began to make arrangements. Of course, he needed some soldiers to go with him to protect him. There was a war going on now in Lebanon. It was not simple to just get on a bus and travel to Lebanon. So he had to have soldiers to protect him. and he went to find this person. He came to the mikveh, and he examined it to see what it needed, to see what would have to be done to fix it, and he figured out exactly what had to be done. Then he went back to Israel, and he began to make arrangements. Of course, he had to talk to the military again to make sure that he would have protection there. He had to talk to some construction workers who knew how to do the construction work. And one of the parts of the plan was to use ice to fill the mikveh. That is to say, getting water into a mikveh can sometimes be very complicated, but one of the ways that it can be done, if other ways are not available, is to take ice and put it into the mikveh, and then the ice melts and you have water in the mikveh. So that was the way that Rabbi Bistritzky had to do it in this mikveh. So he couldn't call this person in Lebanon. He couldn't call an ice maker in Lebanon. So therefore he called his relative in America, and his relative in America called the ice maker in Lebanon, told him to bring 500 bricks of ice to this address on a certain day. And everything was arranged. Rabbi Bistritzky went up to the place in Lebanon with the soldiers and the construction workers, and they got to work. Unfortunately, there was not 500 bricks of ice there, which is what they needed to fill the mikveh. Why not? Because the person from the ice maker company said, I don't know. I mean, I got a call from some lady in America. She asked for 500 bricks of ice. I knew that was such a silly thing. Never happens like that. Somebody asks for 500 bricks of ice. So I brought 5 bricks of ice. Well, of course, they did need 500. So they had that difficulty. They, of course, they had a lot of challenges. But eventually, they finished the job. And all the ice was sitting in the mikveh. I don't know if they waited till it all melted, but it was now ready. All that had to happen now was the ice would melt, and then it would be ready. Rabbi Bistritzky went back to Eretz Yisrael, back to Tzfas, and he wrote a letter to the Rebbe, or he called and spoke to the secretary, I'm not sure which one, and explained exactly what happened, the whole situation. And he thought that the Rebbe would be very proud of him and that he would get a big yashar koyach from the Rebbe. However, the Rebbe sent the following message. Is the mikveh heated? And actually, it wasn't heated. Rabbi Bistritzky did not perhaps think about the idea of heating a mikveh because it was such an emergency situation in the middle of a war, and he did not arrange for it to be heated. Okay, so he has to go back again. He made all the calls to the military and all the arrangements and an electrician to set up the heater and so forth. And back they went until they had the heater set up as well. So now it would be a nice warm mikveh. So we see from the story something most amazing. First of all, even for one woman in Lebanon, in the middle of a war, it was important to make sure that she had a mikveh. And not only a mikveh, but a heated mikveh. So it would be pleasant and easy for her to use the mikveh. And this is the great importance of mikveh. As a matter of fact, in Crown Heights, probably around the 1980s, actually, or 1990s, I don't remember exactly when it was, there was a big crisis with the mikveh because the mikveh was in terrible disrepair and it had to be rebuilt. And the construction was taking a long time and it was very dangerous. It was hard to use. The mikveh was not comfortable. It was not even very safe. And the Rebbe was very upset about the situation. And he cited this halacha of having to sell other things, holy things, in order to build a mikveh. And one of those halachas is that if the only answer, the only solution to having a good mikveh is to sell the shul of the city, then the shul has to be sold in order to raise money to build a mikveh. And they actually sold 770. The main shul of Chabad was actually sold. It was bought, of course, by a very religious Jew, by a Hasidic Jew, but it was sold to him. And of course, later on, the tzibur, the congregation, bought it back. But in the meantime, they now had raised enough money to finish the construction of the mikvahs. So we see the great, great importance of mikveh. In fact, tomorrow, Blee Nader, I will tell you another story about the great importance of mikveh, even for one woman. But now, a little bit about Mashiach. We try to add whenever we can an idea about the coming of Mashiach. And one thing that Mashiach will do is he will teach us the secret reasons of all the mitzvahs. When we have Techiyas HaMeisim and Moshe Rabbeinu's back with us, he will be able to teach us all the regular parts of the Torah. But Mashiach will also be able to teach us the most inner secrets of the Torah in a way of vision, type of a learning that happens so intensely and so quickly that it's like seeing something compared to hearing it. If you hear about something, it has to be described in many, many words. If you see it in one instant, you understand the whole thing because you could see it. And so too, this way of learning Torah, a vision, is the way the Mashiach will teach us. We'll all be able to share this amazing insight into Torah. May Mashiach come quickly and immediately, especially through your learning of Torah and doing of mitzvahs, that this will make it come so much faster. And this will also be a great schus for the IDF and all the other branches of the Israeli military to quickly and completely have victory in the war against our enemies, Hamas and all the Hezbollah and all the other enemies there. And this way to make Eretz Yisrael a safe place and to come quickly to the Geula, may it happen immediately. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.